Preparations are underway to make sure the Capitol is safe for the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden and the time in between the inauguration and now. We get the details from ABC News crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Michelle.
Can you tell us a bit about the preparations that are being made?
It's pretty amazing. I was on the mall yesterday walking around, and 7-foot-high fencing, I mean, I saw it all the way back to 14th Street, which is 14 blocks in the Capitol. Just the level, even as of now, the level of law enforcement blocking streets that are several blocks away from the Capitol, potentially over 20,000 National Guardsmen here, you know, National Guardsmen sleeping inside the Capitol. It is a pretty impressive thing to see, and if you add to it all of the law enforcement that will be here next week from really all over the country to help the Capitol Police and the D.C. Police get through this inauguration, along with all the layers of the federal system with the Secret Service oversee, because they're the special event coordinating agency. They'll just be, in my view, it's going to be difficult for anybody to significantly do anything here next week. But that remains to be seen at other locations that we'll have to see.
Right. What kinds of teams are helping law enforcement officers?
So when you have a special event, which is what this has been defined as, the Super Bowl is defined as that, the State of the Union, there's a couple of others, it really sort of pulls out all the stops as to what the federal government has available. People that can deal with chemical, biological, nuclear accidents, or have the devices to sense that some of that stuff might be in a given area. You're going to have surveillance from above. You're going to have a large room full of experts and law enforcement and intelligence analysts and agents and officers feeding information into this command post from literally all over the world to keep track to the last minute piece of information. And, you know, that will clearly, Michelle, include keeping track of certain individuals, mm-hmm. I'm going to guess, that are part of the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers or some of the groups that tend to be more organized and tend to be more maybe violence prone, for lack of better terms. To see where certain people are, where they're moving, et cetera, who they're associating with. And so we'll have to see. But I think, you know, all of that, you can see how many moving parts I mentioned, and there's far more
right
to make this potentially and hopefully safe next week.
So, Brad, I have to pick out a word that you said that seems rather alarming. You said nuclear teams are part of this. Is there actual fear that maybe our adversaries might take advantage of this time?
No, not at all. I'm not suggesting there's anything. All I'm telling you is that they pull people together, hazmat okay. specialty teams that mm-hmm. can do certain things. It's kind of like anything else, Nikki. If you, you know, last week, for example, if, you know, which was a catastrophe the way it was set up, but the point being, if you had the National Guard around the corner, if you had the D.C. police around the other corner and say we're in trouble, they could have been there in 2 to 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But neither one of them were staged because they were waved off for, you know, reasons we don't clearly know yet. And so it's things like that, you know, like if Wednesday would have gone like I suppose some folks thought it was going to go, it wouldn't have been a big deal. People have gone there, they'd have been upset, they would have protested outside of the Capitol and they would go home.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't what happened, and you didn't have any backup available. So all I'm saying is if you take that up to the mega level
right.
of all of the things that could happen, it's just out there in case you need to touch it. And you know, my guess is you may not have to touch any of those highly volatile things I mentioned, but
that's what the hope is.
You don't have it.
Right, that's true.
Exactly.
Now, these cult-like groups that you're talking about, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, that sort of thing, they're basing their anger on a lot of lies. So, and this is obviously is a question that we're going to have to grapple with for a while. But how do we get them to let go of those lies and actually embrace the truth?
You're not in the short term. I mean, if you think about this kind of from the mindset, at least, of a cult, where people think and believe and worship whatever the leader says, I just have to believe you have a version of that in the president because, you know, he's a charismatic reality show, you know, personality. You know, he from the way he looks to the outrageous things he says, all of that is an attraction to some people. And if you particularly have targeted people that sort of feel disenfranchised, they feel powerless, they live in maybe communities where the economy is not good, it doesn't have maybe the prospects of being good because it's tied to old industries that aren't relevant anymore. He has done an unbelievable job of stirring all these people up that have a grievance, whether it's evangelical Christians who, you know, want abortions banned, they want prayer in school. He's tapped all of that stuff and convinced them that he's really the only God that can deliver on that. And I mean, in my view, it's worked. And that's why you've got now this fever pitch, because, you know, in 6 days he's not going to be there
right. As
president.
And they're scared of what that means. Right.
Well, they're scared that, they're scared about all these lies that have been said about what the Democrats will do.
Right. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
That is Brad Garrett, ABC News crime and terrorism analyst from Washington, D.C.